Here we are, the faithful remnant. The first Sunday of Christmas. Just one day after Christmas. If we didn't already think that time is flying, we certainly do now. On some years, the first Sunday after Christmas falls a full 7 days after Christmas. But not this year. This year, it's as close as it can get. The timing serves to make the juxtaposition seem abrupt. Just yesterday, we heard Luke's version of the birth narrative. In Luke's telling of the story, we're told that Mary and Joseph are traveling to Bethlehem because of a census imposed by the Roman rulers. We hear that because of this census and the great influx of people into Bethlehem, there is no room at the regularly frequented hostels. These two wayward travelers are given a stable in which to sleep. This generosity might be owing to the fact that the woman is obviously due to give birth at any moment. As Luke's story has it, the woman gives birth that very night, in that very stable, surrounded by the animals who regularly call this place home. Angels are involved. One tells some shepherds what's happened. Luke likes to involve folks like shepherds in his stories. Shepherds are the lowest of the lowly in their culture. They hang out with sheep all the time. They have bad manners, if any at all. They use foul language. Most of them smell really bad. That's important to Luke. He wants everyone to know that this event that is taking place will change the way the world works. This child that the angel announces is the Christ child, and the Christ child has been announced not to kings and rulers, not to priests and temple leaders, but to shepherds, stinky shepherds in the field. Matthew tells the story of the birth of Christ similarly to Luke. Matthew, however, begins with a genealogy. He traces Jesus' lineage. Luke does that too. But the two lineages are traced in different ways, each tracing what is important to the author. Matthew, wanting to point out the Jewish ancestry to Abraham, traces Jesus' lineage to him. Luke, wanting to show God's working from the beginning, traces Jesus' heritage back to Adam. Matthew, in his story of the birth of Jesus, leaves out the traveling of Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem and the shepherds as well. He's not concerned with the lowest echelon being included. He has wise men, kings coming from the Far East. He wants his listeners or readers to know that this event is far-reaching. All the earth knows and is affected by this event. It involves the cosmos. Bright stars are involved, and wise people who study the stars are paying attention. Folks who are wise and are paying attention are moved by this event, both literally and figuratively. Mark, who was most likely the first to write his gospel, was in such a hurry to get it all down that he left the birth narrative out altogether. How Jesus got here and the events surrounding that were not as important to Mark as what he did once he grew up. Mark has John the Baptist announce the arrival of the Messiah, has Jesus baptized by John, has the Spirit descending like a dove upon Jesus during that baptism, has Jesus driven to the wilderness to be tempted, and then has him call his disciples. No stable, no shepherds, no angels, no wise men. Jesus is busy doing the work of God from the beginning. That's what Mark wants us to know. Then there's John. John, like Mark, doesn't speak about the birth of Jesus, at least not exactly. after just hearing Luke's story of the shepherds and the angels, hearing John's account can be a jolt. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay, whatever. For those of us who have not grown up in the church, hearing this line year after year, we may have just seemed a bit vague. Even those of us who have heard it year after year may have just glossed over it with a, okay, whatever. What does that mean? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And why doesn't John talk about Bethlehem and stables and shepherds and angels, or at least wise men, or something a bit more tangible than the Word being with God? Was he in a hurry like Mark? That's doubtable. Apparently John, unlike the other gospel writers, died in an old age. The Word that John refers to is Jesus. John, more than any of the other three gospel writers, wants us to know that not only is Jesus fully human, but he's also fully divine. That Jesus was with God from the beginning, whatever that beginning was or is. If we read only Luke or Matthew or only Mark for that matter, we might gloss over this very important aspect that Jesus, the Word of God, was with God from the beginning of creation. The two cannot be fully separated. The Word that was spoken by God in creation is the Word that is now alive in the world as one of us. That's what John wants us to hear by these words. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What he's come to bring is life and light. On hearing this, we might say, I already have life. I'm alive. How did Jesus bring this life? And certainly those who originally heard this could have thought, I was alive before this person was born. How could he bring life? The answer, of course, is twofold. God, the Word, Jesus, gives life to all creation. Not one thing came into being without him. Not you, not me. But not only does he bring life itself, he brings new life. Life lived differently. Life experienced in a new way. Each of the gospel writers tells the story somewhat differently. But each tells the story. Each writer has a different slant on what we should know. But each one wants us to know about this Jesus, about his life and his coming into the world. Each one tells of John the Baptist, bridging the old covenant with the new, showing that God has been working on this relationship with his people all along. What the stories all tell us is that God is actively involved in the world, then and now. So much so that God came into the world, lived in the world as one of us. Which each of the gospel stories begs us is to experience this God made man. This one who sends angels to announce his birth to the lowest echelon. Who causes stars to shine brightly for those who are wise and paying attention. Who was with God from the beginning and is active in the world throughout his ministry. But the gospel asks us not only to experience Jesus and understand Jesus in all these ways, but also asks us to answer the question that Jesus asked of his disciples. Who do you say that I am? Who is this Jesus to you? And how does that affect your life? Each of the gospel writers had a different slant on who this Jesus was, but each told a story. We too may have a different slant on who this Jesus is, but we are all commissioned to tell the story, both in word and in action. Amen.